Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for the fact that if we don't have anything else, we've got you. And so we just want to, we just ask you to open our hearts right now as we go before you, as we continue to worship. We are going to, we want you to open our hearts because we want to be transformed. We want to be changed and we want to be shown and taught from what the pastor is going to. You put it on his heart and he's going to be just giving us all of the hours and hours that he spent with you preparing this sermon. So we want you to open our hearts so that we can be changed by it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Is that Mike Pickering over there? This is another one of my brother in outlaws over here, and my sister Deanne. So it's good to have the family in today. Amen. If you have a Bible, be finding Matthew 21. Matthew 21. And, you know, we're in Easter, Easter season right now. Y'all get that right? And so we're going to be looking at some of the things that happened during Passion Week today and then next Sunday and then, of course, Easter Sunday. And we are going to be having a sunrise service. Church Council met this morning, and I'll let you know, you all know where that sunrise service will be. And we may even open up the church on Good Friday, and if anybody wants to come and pray for Good Friday. And just remember what the Lord did for us. And I agree with Daniel. If you got Jesus, you got it all. All right. If you have found Matthew 21, let's honor God's word by standing if we can. We'll start there at verse 12. Matthew 21, 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. You do know when you come to God's house, there's healing available. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise'?" Then he left them, I guess so, and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. Father, would you add your, as has already been prayed, would you add your blessing to the reading and the teaching and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, infallible, inspiring, authoritative word to our lives. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, what we've got here is a narrative passage, and so I'm just going to tell the story, and then we're going to go to the outline, the sermon outline, if you're taking notes. We are in Passion Week here. We're in the last week of the Lord's life, just before he headed to the cross. And you need to know that just the day before was probably his greatest day, according to Well, we call it Palm Sunday. And there was high praise. People were at fever pitch that day. You all know Jesus rode down the Mount of Olives on the back of a... Yeah. And they laid palm branches in the way, and which was symbolic of a coming king. And man, the people were just, they were just beside themselves. And they were giving God great praise, and they were giving the Lord all that he deserved. But you know what? They weren't looking for the kind of Messiah that Jesus is. They were looking for a political Messiah, somebody who could take them back to great power and privilege and possessions and prosperity. They were looking for a different kind of king. And so the Bible says when Jesus got down off that donkey, they'd been through the gate there, that Jesus just kind of looked around at the city and checked out what was going on. And then he went down into the temple. And he checked it all out, but it was getting very late. Michaela, Joe, we're so glad you're back with us. God bless you. Amen. And forgive me, I've got spiritual ADD this morning. But anyways, he went back to Bethany, which is where he spent a lot of nights, probably at the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And then early the next morning, he comes back down into the city of God, to the holy city. And he's hungry. Y'all don't ever forget, Jesus was fully human. He's fully God, but he's fully human. And he sees this fig tree, and several of us have been to the Holy Land, been to Israel. I'm going to tell you, those figs in Israel are the bomb. They are really good, and they're nourishing, and they fill you up. So he sees a fig tree, and he walks over to the fig tree to get some figs, to get some fruit, and there's only leaves on the tree, no figs. And he does something really strange. He lays a curse on that fig tree. And really what he was doing was giving a subliminal message to the nation of Israel. Because Israel, one of the national symbols of Israel, and it still is today, is the fig tree. Did you know that? And so the sad story is Israel was a lot like that fig tree. She had leaves. She had an outward sign of religion and relation, but there were no fig. There's no spiritual fruit for godly living. And so he pronounced judgment on Israel by the withering and the cursing of that fig tree. And so you need to know this. We're just telling the story. Y'all hang in with me. We're going somewhere, okay? Don't fall asleep on me. Just go ahead and do this to your husband. All right. There's two words in your New Testament for temple. And the first word has to do with the temple proper, which is where the holy place and the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, was. But the second word, and this is the word for temple that Matthew uses, is for the entire temple area and specifically included the court of the Gentiles, the outer court. And Jews and Gentiles would come to the outer place. And by the way, Israel was God's chosen instruments. They were to be his ambassadors, his representatives to all of the pagan Gentile nations. And it was here at this place in the temple that Gentiles could come and experience, hopefully, the power and the presence of the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Y'all remember the Ethiopian eunuch? That's exactly where he came. He came through all the way from Africa, all the way from Ethiopia, and he came through the gate, and he saw all the temple, the eighth wonder of the ancient world, and he saw the sacrificial system, and he went in to the holiest city on earth, to the holiest place on earth, and sadly, he left exactly the way he came in, lost. Thank God for that deacon Philip, amen? For those of you that know the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. And so, this was a special place that Jews and Gentiles would come to experience the presence and the power of God. And so, I want you to get this picture in your mind. Jesus, after cursing the fig, heads down to the temple, and this is what he sees. Now, Remember, it's Passover week, and there's Jews from everywhere in town. And some of them have come from a very far, far away. And in order for you to approach God, in order for you to worship God, in order for you to have your sins forgiven and be right with God, you had to bring a what? Sacrifice, a sacrificial animal. Guess who'd gotten into the animal business? The priests, the religious crowd. And a lot of these folks didn't have a sacrificial animal, these worshipers. Well, guess who had some sacrificial animals for sale? And man, they had the price jacked up. And even if you brought a sacrificial animal, they had to inspect that animal for a price, of course. And also you had to pay a temple tax with Jewish currency. And the exchange rate was exorbitant. And so Jesus walks into the temple there, the outer court, where there's Jews and Gentiles. And while this place should have been a place of missions and evangelism for lost folks, it had turned into a den of thieves. Where do thieves and robbers hang out? In a den. And so do you see that picture that the New Testament's painting here in this passage of Scripture? Jesus is walking up to the temple and he smells animal excrement. He hears people screaming, and he understands that poor people are being taken advantage of. Folks are being ripped off, all in the name of religion. And he announces war on sin and hypocrisy that's clothed in religious practices. And that is a word for us today. Now, I'm not talking about selling tapes and books when these ministries come to our church. All they're doing is asking us to have a part in their ministry. That's not what I'm talking about. But some have taken that to think, nuh-uh. So don't go there, okay? Maybe they'll get this. Don't go there, okay? All right. Now, have you got that picture in your mind? Do you hear the bleeding of the sheep? Do you hear the oxen and the bulls and moaning and groaning? Do you hear those doves flapping their wings? Well, Jesus comes into that, and I mean, he's not only turned off, he's ticked off. And now we see a Jesus we have not seen yet in the New Testament. His eyes are flaming with fire because his Father's house is not to be a house of dishonesty and corruption and cheating people and all in the name of religion. And so he pulls Isaiah 56:7 out after he cleans house. And the Lord grabs a whip. What do you do with a whip? Hello? I'm going to tell you, there is such a thing as righteous anger. We ought to be angry about immorality. We ought to be angry about abortion. Well, I don't need to get off into all that today, but there is such a thing as righteous indignation, righteous anger. And so he begins to get that, he takes that whip through that religious crowd, and they start running like rats off a ship. And then he overturns the tables of the money changers. Do you hear the coins going everywhere? And then he turns over the seats of those sitting in the chairs selling doves. And then he announces war. He said, my Father's house, my house, shall be called a house of prayer. And Isaiah 56:7 says, for all nations. I don't know why Matthew left that out, but Mark got it right. And Isaiah got it right. This is a fulfillment of Scripture. My house shall be called a house of prayer. So that kind of sets the table for the outline. Are you ready now? Okay. My preaching professor just said, when you get a narrative passage, just tell the story. You don't have to come up with 3 points in a poem. Just tell the story. So anyways, first truth that really jumps out at me is that God's house is to be a place of prayer. God's house is to be a place of prayer. Now, I understand. I get it, y'all. I know my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which I have from God. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I'm to glorify God in my body and in my spirit, says the Lord. And so, this is the temple. But you know, as I look around the room, there's a lot of temples in the house today. And there are times and seasons, and they should be, when all the houses of God get together in one big house. And we do that when? Thank you. The house is open on Wednesdays, y'all. Some of you are looking at the tops of your shoes now. But whenever we come to God's house, we ought to be coming with an expectant, anticipating, excited attitude for God to move. The reason we come here is to seek God's face. That's prayer. And by the way, when you come and drive down here or walk here, however you get here on Sundays, you ought to be prayed up, preached up, stored up, and stayed up. You ought to be ready to meet God, to experience God. You need to be in that mood, that mode, that atmosphere where you want to experience God. And I want to tell you, I want, when people come in here, here's what your pastor desires. I could care less about hearing, oh, what a great sermon when y'all leave here. I want people not to say, oh, what a great song, or oh, what a great sermon. I want people leaving here, oh, what a great Savior. That's what this is about. And so I want the preaching to be, and the teaching to be Bible drilled. I want the singing and the music and the worship to be victory thrilled. I want the fellowship to be spirit filled. I want people to experience the Lord in here. That's why we come here. We don't come here for business reasons. We don't come here to see who's here. We don't come here on Easter to see what Lauren, what kind of dress she's got on. We come here to lift up Jesus. I said, we come here to lift up Jesus and experience Him. Hallelujah. Give Him praise in the house. And my house shall be called a house. Did you realize how many times we spent, how much time this morning we spent praying? We're going to continue to do that. How many of you liked last Sunday? Three of you. We had a prayer service, Becky, we didn't do a whole lot of preaching. We had a prayer service. We broke up into groups and prayed for seven things. And I will tell you, God's pleased with that, because His house shall be called a house of prayer. And so we want to make this, in Matthew 18, 20, I basically, let me just quote it for you. Where two or three are gathered, He's right there in the midst. So wherever two or three believers are, man, God's right there with you. He's in here and He's right here. And let me say this. There are two extremes in worship when people come to the house of God. There's one where anything goes. I call that the wildfire church. I mean, there's all kinds of wild stuff going on. And some of the stuff that goes on, God's a million miles away from it. And then there's the other extreme that's as dead as a morgue. I call it the church of the frozen chosen. And there's a lot of Baptist churches like that. We need to learn how to praise God. But I want us to come in somewhere there in between those two extremes. And it is my desire, it is my hope, it is my prayer, it is my wish, it is my, I just want people, when they leave here talking about God. They leave here talking about Jesus. They've experienced Him. I don't know how people get through the week without being with God's people on God's day. Amen? So the second thing I want to say about His place being a place for, is God's house should be a place for everyone. Everyone. I said everyone. Isaiah 56, 7 says, my house shall be a house of prayer. There it is. For who? Just a few select ones. It says all nations. All nations. It is the desire of our great God and Savior is that everyone. Let me just read the whole verse. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifice will be accepted on my altar. You know who them is? Hadn't you always wanted to know who them is? Well, them are the Gentiles. When you read that in context, and that's why he says, my house shall be called up for everyone. And I want to tell you, this is where everybody ought to be. This is a hospital for sinners, not a country club for saints. Everybody needs to be in this place. Everyone needs to be here. The saints and the ain'ts. The lost and the saved. The sick and the downtrodden. Those who are struggling with identity issues. This is where people need to be. Bless God. God just gave me this. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Y'all still with me? 1 Corinthians 6. Now listen to this. Verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. But now listen to this. This is great. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So somebody gave those folks the gospel. And I want to tell you, people hear the gospel here. Now they ought to be hearing it out there. But everyone needs to be here. And you go ahead and invite the one that's the farthest away from God. Bring them on in here. You never know what God's going to do with somebody. People get under conviction when they get under the Word and get under the Spirit. Is it already 9:54? My goodness. God's house is a place for everybody. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in God's sight. Everybody's made in the image of God, and everybody deserves an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Get them in here. Bring them with you. Nancy DePriest, where are you? Right in front of me. Thank you for bringing anybody and everybody to the house of God. This is our, what a blessing she is. The one we baptized, guess who invited her to come? Right there. Keep bringing people to the house of God. Here's the second thing that jumps out at me. God's house is not only a place of prayer, it's a place of praise. It's not only a place to seek God and find God and experience God, it's a place of praise. Say praise with me. Praise. Watch this. Look at verse 14 again. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what they're saying? And Jesus said, yes. Have you never read? Now this is a quotation from Psalm 8 and verse 2. This is a fulfillment of Psalm 8. Jesus is in the temple and they're crying out, Hosanna! Save now! And the Son of God, that is a messianic title. And who's giving God praise here? Who is it specifically? Children. Wake up. The children are not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. Hallelujah. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. They're praising God here. They're praising the Lord Jesus for who he is. Out of the mouths of babes. You know, one of the ways that I think second mile can learn how to praise God better is to learn the names of God. There's a bunch of names in the scripture for God. And they teach us who He is. That's praise. Oh God, You are the wonderful Counselor. You are the mighty God. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Rose of Sharon. You are the Lily of the Valley. You are the bright and morning star. You are the fairest of 10,000. You are the chief cornerstone. You are the deliverer. You are the light of the world. You are the bread of life. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the resurrection and the life. You're the good shepherd. You are the open door. We need to learn the names of God so that we can give Him praise in the house. I challenge you this week to go home and do a search in your commentary or in the script for the names of God. And your praise will get better. By the way, God inhabits the praise of His people. He likes it when we praise Him. And we're getting ready down here for what we're going to be doing up there. Some of us are going to be shocked. And by the way, trying to get some of y'all to sing up in here is like pulling teeth. But nobody's going to be able to shut you up when you get up there. And so we need to be getting ready for that right here. Praise God for who He is. And then here's the final point. Praise God for what He does. Did you catch verse 14? After Jesus had cleaned house, after He'd mopped up the mess, after He had done what He needed to do and pronounced judgment on the religious leaders of the day, people started coming to Him right there in the temple. People with needs, the lame, the blind. And I'm sure there's many others who were, they had mental health issues, social issues, relational issues, family issues. And the Bible says that Jesus healed them. That's another thing we can praise God for. Give Him thanks for what He's done and what He continues to do. Has He done anything in your life? This always grips me, Darlene. I'll ask people, you know how I am. I'll ask people, what's God doing in your life right now? And all of a sudden we get this Baptist lock jaw. What's God doing in your life? Is He doing anything? He's doing all kinds of things. And whatever He's doing, it's good. Because He is good. And here's another one back here that's bringing somebody to church with her. And she and Sam. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. But what is God doing? What's He doing in your life? What do you see Him at work? Well, whatever He's doing is good and great. It's for your good and His glory. And I don't understand everything. But I know this. God's infinite and we're finite. He has all the knowledge. We've got limited knowledge. Oh, not me, Brother Kel. My IQ's 142. He has all the knowledge. He's got all the wisdom. He knows what's behind us. He knows what's going on, and He knows what's ahead of us. He's got foreknowledge. And so we can trust Him. And we ought to be able to thank Him and praise Him. And I've said all of that to say this. Now, I'm closing my Bible, but that doesn't mean for you to pack up. Anytime the Word of God is read, taught, sung, or preached, there's a response that needs to be made on my behalf and yours. Is there anything in your life that's hypocritical? Is there anything in your life that hinders the flow of God in your life? Is there any unconfessed, unrepented sin? I've got some good news. Probably the answer to that is in the majority of the folks here. And Jesus is still in the house cleaning business. And He can forgive you of any and all sin. And when we repent, when we turn from it, forsake it, God washes us and sanctifies us, just like 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10 says. And that's what this message is all about. Well, I can't go forward. Somebody will know that I'm in sin. Hello? We're all in the same boat. Every single one of us. And so what's God saying to you this morning? What's He saying to you? Is there some cleaning that needs to take place? Oh, next Sunday we're having the Lord's Supper. I'd go ahead and get that took care of right now. Would you pray with me? Father, I've read and I've studied and I've spoken and I've done the best that You have allowed me to do. But now this is Your time, not mine. This is all about You. And I pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters that are here. We're so reminded at this season of the sacrifice that Jesus made for each one of us. And I pray, God, for healing, forgiveness, for repentance to take place, so that revival, true revival, might come to Second Mile Church. Forgive us, God, for playing games. Forgive us for being religious. Forgive us for following a set of rituals and rules. All Jesus says was to come and follow Me. And there's many here today that just simply need to do that. And there's some here today that aren't following You because they've never been saved. If you don't have the power and the presence of God in you and on you, here's how you can get it. You got to be willing to turn from your sin. You need to be willing to be so sick of your sin that you turn from it and receive Jesus Christ as your only means of salvation. And if you'll ask Him to forgive you and to come in, and you can't clean up your life, you never will be able to, but Jesus can. And He'll set you free here today if you just simply call on His name to save you. What's God doing today? How's He speaking to you? Please don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Just say yes to what He's calling you to do. We're going to have a response time. This is an old-fashioned place to meet God. This is an altar. And you can come and make that sacrifice today of your life to His. Father, I pray now that people would be obedient all across this sanctuary. God, that You would do only the things that You can do. You're God and You're God alone. Speak, Lord, and help us to respond with courage. In Your name we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand reverently and quietly. Andrew, what are we going to sing?
At the Cross.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.